times I thought we'd never make it. Now we on our way to greatness. And all I ever took was patience. I used to feel so devastated. At times I thought we, but now we on our way. And all I ever took was patience.
Welcome to Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. I am Rev Yearwood, President and CEO of the Hip Hop Caucus.
And I'm Mustafa Santiago Ali, Vice President of the Hip Hop Caucus. Welcome to our radio show and podcast that delivers real talk on climate change and environmental justice. No sides, just the facts and stronger communities.
Want to give a shout out to all of you who are listening all over the country and the world, and for us here in our home base studio at WPFW 89.3. Thank you for hosting us here, and for all of our supporters, just a big thank you for all of our listeners who tune in each week. We love you all.
And you can check out the show's blog at think100.info, and be sure to follow us also online at think100show.
Well, Mustafa, I want to get right into this, this show. We have a lot to get into. I am excited because we have our dear brother, Raheem Devon, is going to be with us. But before we get to that, I know you have some shout outs for the climate movement.
Yes, yes, yes. So we want to remind everybody that September the 12th through the 15th that the Hip Hop Caucus will be there with The Village, our cultural hub. It's going to be an incredible space where we'll be bringing artists and entertainers together. We'll be bringing policymakers, grassroots leaders, indigenous leaders. So many folks will be coming together to build, but also to focus on solutions of how we address climate change, but also how do we make sure that our most vulnerable communities are a part of that process and are recipients of the change that can and must happen.
Also, I know there was a study that came out linking climate change and suicide. Can you give us some more information on that?
Yeah, you know, Rev, we keep finding out whether it's air pollution or climate change that there are incredible impacts that are happening to everyday folks. And we got to be really, really focused on this. So there's a new study that recently came out that said that for every 1 degree Celsius increase in the temperature, that it is also increasing suicides. So this is not really new to those of us who've grown up, you know, in many of our communities. We know that when the temperatures get hot, there's a lot of things that pop off sometimes.
Right. That's right.
So now there is a direct connection to climate change. They're estimating, Rev, that by the year 2050, there will be 26,000 additional suicides on top of the other suicides that are already happening if we don't get our
hands on this. I think you got to slow down for people to understand what you're saying there. Mm-hmm. I think you need to understand, because I think we wade into some deep water. Just so people can understand what Mustafa is saying here, that there is a direct link between the atmosphere and climate change and people losing hope and committing suicide. I think you need to just take a second to explain what that means.
Yeah, so we can actually go back, because sometimes folks will think, well, this is just a new issue that maybe some folks are focusing on. We can go back to 1881. There was an Italian scientist who began to do his own study at that time, looking at when temperatures would rise on those days that had the highest temperatures, that there would be an increase in suicides. Hmm. So there is a long body of literature and analysis and science in this space. So now, fast forward to 2018, the new study that came out in The Nature of Climate Change makes those direct connections that each time we have 1 degree Celsius increase in temperature rise, then we have, unfortunately, more folks who are taking their lives. And we know that there is a direct connection that is from fossil fuels, which are heating up our planet. So it's not like we can't get in front of this problem. It's not like we can't address some of the root causes. Yes, there are other causes, but we have the ability to be able to move forward in a direction that we are saving lives, not only in relationship to the public health concerns that we talk about on the show many times, asthma, heart disease, all these other things that are also associated with air pollution and can be tied also to the impacts that are happening from climate change. But now in relationship to mental health issues, suicide issues, there is now this new study that makes that connection.
Wow. And also, Mustafa, just real quick for folk in here, what's going on with the Endangered Species Act?
You know, we got some folks, you know, right down the street on Pennsylvania Avenue and on Capitol Hill who really need to get it together. So for those of you who don't know, the Endangered Species Act has been around since 1973. And it protects, just as it says, some of our most endangered species, both animals and plants, that are, you know, particularly intertwined with our own existence. Sometimes we forget how fragile our ecosystems are and how we are all connected. So what we now have going on is an attempt to roll back the Endangered Species Act and to allow those in mining and gas and logging to be able to move forward. And one of the ways they're doing this is through an anti-science campaign by trying to weaken or refute science, as we've seen in a number of other policy applications and implications. So this is just another example of trying to weaken science so you can weaken policy so that you can then allow to put pollution over people, to allow these industries to begin to encroach on lands that have been protected in many, many instances for decades or even longer. So we have to get engaged in having conversations and setting expectations, not only with the folks who are in the White House, but also the folks on Capitol Hill. You should be just sharing with them that if you see value in the Endangered Species Act, if you see value in those animals, those fish, and those other, you know, beautiful spaces that you want to see them protected, then you have a right as a citizen to do that.
So I want to say this for all of our listeners, that you are tuned in to Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. And we try to make this show cool and fun and exciting. And we're going to have Raheem Devon shortly. We do that because we want more people to be engaged in this issue, because this truly is about life or death. This kind of leads me to the Youth Climate March we had this past weekend, and you had young people who were taking to the streets all over this not in this country, but this world. And the reason I bring that up is because sometimes with climate change, it's real serious. And it's real serious because right now in Greece, you have people who are literally running from wildfires. They are in their homes and they're leaping into the ocean to avoid the fire that is so fast moving. And you have wildfires in the Arctic. I didn't say California. I didn't see Mexico. I didn't say in Florida. We have wildfires in the Arctic. It is so hot in parts around the globe that you have farmers who have such extreme drought. They are killing their livestock. You have children in India where it is so hot, and in Japan, that they are literally drowning themselves because they are going into barrels of water and trying to stay underwater long enough because they don't want to escape from the heat. This is why you had young people who came out in Washington, D.C., and they came out all over this globe to bring awareness to what's going on. This is not a game. And so last week, we had three founders from This Is Zero Hour on this show, Jamie, Nadia, and Madeline. And we were blown away by their spirit and the focus on what needs to get done to solve climate change. You should go to our YouTube page to check those clips out. And on Saturday, we joined this Youth Climate March here in Washington, D.C. Now, be clear, there were 20 marches taking place in cities all around the world. It was an incredible day. But this next generation is out there with doing some things that are great. And so I want to actually just play two voices that came from this march and give you a little bit. And then following, you're here, Mustafa and Antonique and myself speaking with
Are you talking about our brother, Chutesqua?
Chutesqua, yeah, that's, I'm gonna make sure we call, I call him X. That's a good brother, Chutesqua Martinez, who is a MC, and Kareem Taylor, who's the policy director with our good friends at Green for All. But the bottom line is that they, you can get more information about this UConn march and just over at our YouTube page at, give me the YouTube page.
You can go to www.youtube.com/ Think 100 Show.
There it is. That's called a remix there from Mustafa on the remix. But all jokes aside, y'all, this is a serious time. So actually, let's just go right to the tape. This is from the UConn march this past weekend. What's up, y'all? This is Rev Yearwood, and you are tuned into Hip Hop Caucus, Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. Without a doubt, I am so honored to be here at the Youth Climate Rally because they're not only fighting for equality, but they're fighting for our existence. Well, to make this thing happen, you got to have culture. And with me is my dear brother, who is one of the most phenomenal entities for the folks, man. Let them know who you are and where you're from.
Peace, peace, everybody. My name is Chutesqua. I'm 18 years old. I'm from Denver, Colorado. My family's from Mexico City. Blessed to be out here with the family, with Hip Hop Caucus. I'm a representative of the organization Earth Guardians, which is a nonprofit organization working with youth worldwide to empower and inspire, uplift their voices and their passions to create positive change in the world. The whole vision with this march is to really bring young people to the forefront of the conversation.
Right.
To talk about how we're actually going to create and motivate and push our politicians to bring forth the positive change for our planet, for our climate, for our people. We have a really heavy emphasis on bringing marginalized communities really to the front. Talk about, you know, Latino communities, Black communities, Indigenous people, voices that have traditionally been left out of conversation and of movements, especially in the environmental and climate spectrum. I'm an MC and a hip-hop artist too, so I'll be performing, I'll be sharing the music, you know, it's just another avenue to help engage and inspire people. Grateful to be out here.
I need you to unpack this. Why did you get involved with the climate movement?
My father is Mexica, the indigenous people of Mexico City. Growing up in that community with that culture, with that, those teachings, that ceremony, a huge part of just like my upbringing was all about understanding our identity as indigenous peoples and right. How that meant that we have a responsibility to defend our land, our water, our community in honor of our ancestors and those that came before us that fought to give us this existence and in honor of future generations that will inherit it. So for me, it wasn't even so much about activism. It was about recognizing my place in my own humanity, my responsibility to be a caretaker of the earth in honor of who I was. And then my mother was very involved in the environmental movement. My older siblings were very involved. And so as a six-year-old little kid, I got up on stage and started talking to people about it, very just like engaged in my community. And that it just happened, you know, bit by bit. It became a huge passion of mine to speak up and to have my voice heard. And I recognize that when young people speak up, the world will listen. The world will pay attention.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we have a responsibility to use that power.
Yo, man, this is what's up, man. So listen, you heard it here at Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. We are here with one of the awesome organizations that I know is like Green for All, and my dear sister, Kareen, who's there. Kareen, let them know who you are and what you do.
Hey, everybody. My name is Kareen Taylor. I'm the policy director for Green for All. So excited to be here at the Youth Climate March with these wonderful people from the Hip Hop Caucus. Hey. And we're gearing up for our My Climate Cost campaign. So we're really interested in just hearing from young people about how climate change is impacting them every single day. You know, really excited to see these youth pushing these issues up in front of our face so we can lift them up and give them a platform. So thanks so much.
What brought you out here today? Why is this so important?
We need to not think of young people as being naive and not understanding these issues, because they are. Just because they may not have a number of degrees or some titles behind their name doesn't mean that they don't understand the issues. So we have to give them a platform. We have to allow them to say for themselves what's impacting them.
I completely agree. And they're not naive. They absolutely know what's going on. So thank you, all the young people. They're like 16 who put this together today.
I don't know what I was doing when I was 16.
Yeah.
I was like braiding my hair and watching like MTV and things.
Yeah, I've been 16.
They're on it.
Yes,
know?
I was not doing it. I wasn't planning marches.
No, not at all. I was planning to go to the mall. And so, yeah.
Yes, so try to see some boys or something.
Right. So imagine that level of dedication to an issue that they've been this compelled to put together a march of this magnitude. So we have to come out and support our girls.
Yo, you know, Hip Hop Caucus and Grateful All Men, we go way back. We thank y'all for our continued partnership.
Thank you.
I do have a thing on that aspect. Mustafa, come on in here. You got to share this mic in this process. One of the things here that's important and that we talk about all the time is just this right here, is that people will look at this setting and be like, wow, that doesn't look like my climate movement. That's too many people of color. So I guess, Mustafa, what are your thoughts on that? And then, Kareem, what are your thoughts? Like, what can we do to then look at this and this doesn't look odd to them?
Well, I mean, most folks of color have been working on environment for years. They've been working on sustainability. They've been talking about climate change. It was just that others weren't paying attention.
Mm.
We know that in communities of color, low-income communities, and indigenous populations, where most fossil fuel facilities are located. So we've been dealing with those impacts. Unfortunately, many of the larger green groups, the foundations, and others, and even public health organizations didn't have folks of color in leadership positions. So when young brothers and sisters, whether they're African American, Latino, Asian American, indigenous, look at those organizations, they don't see themselves reflected in that. So why this moment is so critical is that this movement, this is Zero Hour, realizes that those past injustices cannot be a part of a new paradigm. And folks are fixing that. Organizations like Green for All, the Hip Hop Caucus, Green Latinos, have also said that if those organizations can't meet the needs of our communities totally, and many of them do good work, that we'll make sure that we create our own organizations that can help to make sure that we're addressing climate change and the disproportionate impacts from environmental pollution. Yeah. So that's just some real talk for you.
Green?
I would say ditto.
Okay.
But I don't know, just coming up from environmental justice communities, that's all I saw was were people of color running this and women running this. And we
that's
need
right.
to trust us. You know, we know what the experiences have been, and we have the expertise, we have the knowledge, and whether or not these big groups let us in or not, we're here and we're gonna push through and we're gonna get our message out. So I'm just so thankful that you guys
well, thank
are
you.
Lifting us up.
Thank you, and thank you for joining Hip Hop Caucus, 100%, the coolest show on climate change.
Hey,
man, that was this weekend with the Youth Climate March, and just shout out to Zero Hour. They are this amazing group of young people, 16 and 15, Mustafa, 14, raising money. I also wanted to say this, that not only were this young people, they were people of color. They were young people of color
mm-hmm.
who were leading this movement, and we are fighting for them and their generation. Can they understand? So let's hop right into it. I think that, you know, I just want to say that, as you heard us before, these issues regarding climate change and with young people, you know, this is what we're fighting. And one of the folks who is very dear to me and very dear to the Hip Hop Caucus for a lot of reasons we're going to get into, but is also somebody who cares about not only this generation, but the next generation. And because he understands how to use his platform as an artist, as a producer, as there's so many different things, as running his own nonprofit, Love Life Foundation. And we're going to get into all of that. But in the studio, I have with me the incredible Raheem Devon. Raheem, how are you doing,
hey,
my brother?
What's going on, Red?
Man, it is so good to see you. Now, I just want to say we have some music. We're going to play that uh-huh. in a second. We're going to get right into it. But I think I just want to just get right into it a little
bit. Cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, first, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just running. A lot going on, you know. Just great, great, great time. A lot going on, like musically, you know, from an activist standpoint, you know. Foundation wise, just gearing up, new album coming out, and all that good stuff. So just, you know, moving at the speed of light, man, you know.
And for folks who don't know Raheem, Raheem is a mega talented, Grammy nominated singer songwriter, a consistent advocate for our communities. He founded the Love Life Foundation back in 2014, a nonprofit dedicated to improving lives through social development, education, health, and wellness through community development and engagement. And so, and he's also, I wanted to start with this from the very beginning. When the first, when Hip Hop Caucus was created, many of you, some of you know when it was created, it was a forge of a number of hip hop organizations. You had the Hip Hop Summer Action Network, you had Citizen Change, you had Voice Your Choice, there was Jay-Z, there was Diddy, all these groups, and then you had a number of other hip hop groups that were coming together. And in that process, when we came together to create the first Hip Hop Caucus, we wanted to have the first Hip Hop Caucus. Hence our name, mm-hmm. Hip Hop Caucus, at the Congressional Black Caucus. Now, this was about 13 and a half years ago. And so, you know, back then, they didn't really want anything named hip hop, actually, at the Congressional Black Caucus. And so they had no room for us. There was no room in the inn, as they would say. And so we had to have our first event actually up, which actually was a blessing, up at Howard University. And then in that, our first artist, who we had with us, we actually, first we thought we only had like 100 people show up. We had a, it was 900 people came to the event. And so actually, if we even had it at the Congressional Black Caucus, it wouldn't have had enough room to even have it. But we had Raheem was the first. Every time I see Raheem, I mean, this is, we're going to go into all from the tours we've been on, from voting, from Act on Climate. But every single time I see Raheem, it just takes me back almost to the beginning. It just reminds me of why the Hip Hop Caucus was created and why it was started and why it's here. But more importantly, Raheem is an artist and an activist. He's what we would call the epitome of an artivist. So with that being said, Raheem,
I
man.
I gotta steal that, man. I gotta borrow that. Artivist.
That is you, my brother.
I like that. I'll take that all day.
My brother, what's going on?
Oh, man, so much, you know. So much going on in the world. You know, we just recently dropped a project. Myself and Wes Felton, I say we, collectively, we call ourselves The Crossroads. The album is called Footprints on the Moon. And we're talking about everything from climate control to the social climate of, you know, what the daily struggle is for us to be, you know, American citizens these days being misrepresented by, you know, President Donald Trump and the Trump administration and, you know, police brutality and all of these things. But with hip hop being what it means to the world, you know, globally, it is, again, it's an honor to be here. When you guys first build this off to the ground up, you know what I mean? Up to now, it's always, you know, it always comes, what they say, when you're paying it forward, it always comes full circle.
That's right. That is right.
Yeah. So it's really just, that's what it is, you know, just really just paying it forward, you know, showing that direct connection. For me, it's always been about showing that direct connection between music and artistry and I guess you could say philanthropy, you know, kind of combining those, you know, now that starting the Love Life Foundation now, you know, back in 2014 was you know, you were an inspiration for that, different organizations that had called on me in the past, and I just feel like I could be that much more of a light bearer having my own foundation to just kind of like piggyback and assist in the areas that we need assisting, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Raheem, it's great having you on the show. You know, here at Think 100%, you know, we are focused on helping to move our communities from surviving to thriving. Mm-hmm. I know you out there on the street, in the streets, actually connecting with folks, you know, not just talking about what needs to happen, but actually, you know, rolling your sleeves up. Mm-hmm. And you recently came back from South Africa as well.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what are some of the needs that exist in our communities, you know, whether it's internationally or here at home, and you know, maybe some of the gaps that exist in the movement currently?
Yeah, I mean, from traveling, I think the consensus is that, you know, I think, and don't get me twisted when I say this, I'm not saying that racism does not exist, but the type of racism that I think we're really encountering, not only here in the States but abroad, it's systematic. You know what I mean? It's financial. It's a social class of racism. You know what I mean? It's a social class of racism. It's a social class of lack of concern and disconnect. And that's why, you know, we hear some of the comments in the past has been made in the press by people that we don't understand, like public figures and what we, because they disconnected. They disconnected from a sense of reality and from the streets. You know what I mean? And some of it may be entertainment, but you got to choose your choice of entertainment, because once you say something out your mouth, you got to be held accountable for it. Or once you say, that's whether it's on record or off record. Especially in the hip hop community, you're going to be held accountable for everything you say. If you say, I'm bang, bang, shoot them, kill them up, and that's what I do, and you know, I don't take any L's, eventually somebody's going to test you to try to make sure that you take the L. You know what I mean? So whatever the message is, you gotta stand on that and own that and walk in those shoes. But what I've seen, you know, from Southeast DC, you know, east of the river to Soweto, Johannesburg, is the same thing. You know, people in need. You know, you have those individuals who don't want help. They don't want to change. They don't want to stand for nothing. But you got a lot of youth that do want to stand for something and want to stand up for something and want to be part of something, and they just don't know how to get involved. And I think that over the next 10 years, the vital component, one of the major vital components that's going to bridge the gap and continuously has been there to bridge the gap for us is, you know, social media and the free will of, you know, being able to use a smartphone.
Man, listen, if you just tuned in, you are listening to Think 100%. We have Raheem Devon in the studio. He going to chop it up. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll go to the other side about what artists can do to be more political in the 21st century. Welcome back to Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. We are here in the studio with my dear brother, the amazing, talented, Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, and this consistent advocate for our communities, yeah. Raheem Devon. Raheem.
Yes.
So, man, we just want to get this. So, I want to ask the artist question.
Okay.
But I want to say this, that we were on tour. People don't know, we were on tour together. We did the Act on Climate Tour.
Yeah.
With Amanda Seals, D1, and so many other people. We were.
So many people. And you know what's crazy? Everybody is like blowing up, man. It's crazy.
That's right.
It was my first time meeting D. Not my first time meeting Dean with the tour, but it was my first time kicking it with him, on a day-to-day, you know what I mean? Amanda, I know her for years. It's Rev, it's other people that were on there. So it's on the tour. But I was telling somebody the other day, I said, when you're on tour, like whether it's a music tour, nonprofit, community, activated, humanitarian tour or a play, you either make friends for life to become family, or you never want to see those people again. and I can proudly say that it's been a pleasure. It was a great, I learned a lot. I learned so much stuff that I did not know, were privy to. Yeah.
That's some real talk for you right there.
Yeah. No, that is.
I learned a lot, man, on that tour, the climate control tour, and just the direct connections between cancer, asthma, different ailments and whatnot. When you have the coal mining plant and strategically, just again, systematic racism and what communities, people that they put strategically in those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that whole environmental racism, environmental justice.
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's.
Well, I see you didn't forget that.
It's treacherous. Yeah,
I see that. I see that's still there.
Oh, nah, because I can spot now. I can identify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I'm saying? I can spot that anywhere on the planet now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, being on that tour.
So it's just about the exposure to it.
Oh, definitely, and I can see, and I can also see outside of this country that they are taking it more seriously than they are taking it here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
in certain places.
Speak on that. What do you mean when you say that?
When I say that, I'm just saying, just in terms of how conscientious they are about something as simple as, electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where, there's this highway, coming into Joburg in the South Africa, where if you look to the, I just remember looking to the left, and this was the first time I went out there, and I literally every home that I saw, a lot of solar power, and it looked like low-income housing. Won't say, but it was solar powered.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just in terms of the technology, just notice a lot, And I think definitely, especially in terms of Africa and their resources, it's the stereotypes that a lot of people who haven't ever been over there, they just don't they don't get it. They think they're people over there swinging from vines like Tarzan or something, and it's not that's not what's happening. They're on the cutting edge. They're on it. You know what I'm saying? As far as technology and just being on type of thing, but it's still challenges because you can just here or like a scene out of New Mexico where you can ride through Mexico, where you can ride into Mexico. And I don't know if you ever taken that trip, but coming through the border, it's the craziest thing where you can see someone who has single family home.
Mm-hmm.
And then right next to it, you can literally see into somebody's home. It's half of the home.
Mm-hmm.
You can clearly see somebody's living there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But it never finished being built or whatever. Maybe they squatting there, what have you. You know what I mean? As you coming in. It's pretty, We have a lot of challenges here and things that need to happen, but we do take for granted America and the privileges and things that are accessible to us as American citizens until you leave this country.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, if you were like me, the guy that was the class clown and wanted to always wanted to give the Spanish teacher a hard time. And now, I can't speak a lick of Spanish.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Because, the average foreign citizen, whether someone lives in France or Joburg or Paris, the average child over there, young adult, or adult, they speak Mm-hmm. Anywhere from 3 to 5 to 6 to 7 different languages.
Raheem, just let me ask this question real quick, and then we'll get back on track. But mm-hmm. how important is it? Because you talked about when you were on the Act on Climate tour, mm-hmm. how that helped you to kind of make the connections of some of the things maybe you saw before, and then understanding how the environmental and pollution played into that. Do you think it's important that we get our elected officials, business leaders, other folks from the community to actually be able to go and see some of these places that sometimes people make policy about but ain't never been to?
Mm. Oh, definitely. I mean, we already in it too, though. We in it. So it's kind of like we going, you know, I don't know whom serves who,
mm-hmm.
or who do you refer to your higher power as, but we getting rocked. We getting rocked right now,
yeah.
and we ain't even seen the worst of it yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Alaska is melting at an alarming rate, and we're seeing the yep. instrumental effects of that. Like, that's just a fact. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, you know, 10 years ago, we wouldn't be able to say, like, you know, at the end of July, that we would literally have rain for, like, which is going to cause flooding, you know what I mean, here mm-hmm. and in other areas for the next, they're saying it might rain for, like, 2-3 weeks straight.
Yeah, you know, it's
just here, like alone. Yeah, yeah. So that water is one of the most, you know, water like fire and other elements. You know, water is one of the most powerful things. You know, if we go to the studio now mm-hmm. and go in the bathroom, and I have my 10-year-old stuff to sink up, and we run the water mm-hmm. and leave out of here, and everybody leaves out of here and doesn't cut it off. When we come back in here tomorrow, the water will be outside.
Yeah,
and the water will continue to go wherever it chooses to go,
mm-hmm.
you know, down the street, into the sewer, up the block, mm-hmm. whatever, down the block, mm. whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
So these are things that, like, should have been taken seriously probably, you know, 20 years ago and 30 years ago. And now we're seeing the effects of it now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get a grip on it, imagine where we're going to be when my son turns, you know, my age.
That's the fight.
I mean, that's just real talk. We have lost 3 trillion tons of ice in the last 25 years from the Arctic yeah. ice shelf.
3 trillion tons of ice.
Right. Most people can't even imagine how much that is and how that's going to impact some of the things that you're talking about, putting more moisture into the atmosphere and, you know, more floods and
the rising sea levels. The sea level automatically rises. Like, that water has to go somewhere.
That's right. That's right. Well, Raheem, we wanted to ask you also, so, you know, you have an incredible rep as not only in the musical sector, but mm-hmm. also as an activist.
I'm starting to find that out. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no.
Really? Good though. Hold on, you didn't know that?
Nah, I mean, you know, you never know what somebody's impression of you is, you know? And I'm one of those people that I just like to, sometimes I'm just working so much that I don't get a chance to look up and realize
yeah.
the work I've done, mm-hmm. kind of like, I'm learning how to do that now, you know? But you look up and you're like, man, where's the time gone? Like, man, I just started the foundation in mm-hmm. 2014, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you gotta, I'm learning now how to kind of celebrate the wins, like, humbly, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But every win is a win, you know what I mean?
That's true.
And sometimes we focus so much on the L's, or the things that we want that we don't, that we feel that we may personally think that we want, or we personally think that we deserve,
mm-hmm.
that we don't celebrate and recognize or take the time to appreciate and just be thankful for the times that you are appreciated and celebrated. You know?
Well, I see you rocking that Golden State jersey, so they know something about wins.
Well, listen, I'll be honest. They didn't give me the memo that we were going to be on camera.
Okay.
And right. I probably would have been wizarded out.
That's okay. That's all right. It just matched
the kicks. I am a Golden State fan, but if we're talking like I'm home team everything, like, to be completely honest.
Totally get that. And we're hoping that the wins come also on this side.
Yeah, so maybe we'll give a little luck to
There it is. But I want to tie it into the wins.
Yeah.
You know, and when you sat down, Rev shared the title of an artivist,
uh-huh.
right? So, you know, I'm curious, as an artivist, you mm-hmm. know, you've got other folks who just focus on the art side. You've got some who focus on the activism side.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how important it is or isn't to a person's career to be an artivist? Like, what is our responsibility in giving back if we choose to?
Oh, man, it's just like that should be the only, in my thought process, in my philosophy, that should be the only choice. If you in a position of power, if you're a public figure, if you're a ball player, if you're an actor, an actress, you consider yourself a humanitarian, if you have any influence, if you're a CEO, or the employee, mm-hmm. right? It's your duty. You know what I'm saying? It's your duty. Like, someone had to do it for you to be able to get the opportunity to be in position of where you at. You know, but at the same token, though, for the listener out there, you don't have to be Rev. You don't have to be Raheem Devine. You don't have to be a public figure to care about people and to mobilize and activate and get organized and mm-hmm. do your part, you know?
Yeah. Everybody has power.
Now, everybody has power. And I want to say this, that, you know, I think, you know, Raheem is probably being very modest mm-hmm. In some cases. I've been in this game, as many of you know, I've been around all kinds of artists forever. And, you know, first of all, artists are people. Artists are people. I mean, they say they, you know, you have artists, you have good artists, you have bad artists, you have artists, you have folks in the industry who are good, folks who, you know, they're just people. You got all kind of people, you got all kind of artists. And so when you have artists, and for me, being in this movement, you have artists like Raheem Devine, mm-hmm. who have consistently, I think, just been out there fighting for our people all over this planet. It makes my job and your job, Mustafa, mm-hmm. So much easier when they are willing. I think you understand when you're willing to board a bus. When we went through Detroit, mm-hmm. we had the smell from the Marathon Refinery, mm-hmm. and people literally had to cover their noses. And the brother was living there, mm-hmm. and they had to cross it. One of the people who died of cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, so when you have artists like Raheem who are willing to go into these communities to do that, I think that's such an important piece. But Raheem, when we come back after this break, I want you actually to speak to this next generation of artists mm-hmm. and what they have to deal with.
Okay.
And so when we come back, you're listening to Think 1%, the coolest show on climate change. We have Raheem Devine in the studio. And when we come back, he's going to speak to the next generation of artists. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
That was Raheem Devon U. And you are listening to Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. And we have in the studio Raheem Devon, my brother, my friend. So it kind of feels kind of unique because we done been side by side on buses and everywhere, yeah, just riding around. So we have this rapport. And so for me, just happy just to see him. You know, I just happy just to see my brother and, you know, see his son JJ in the studio. So this is a good, this is a good look for me. Yeah. And so I knew from Mustafa, you might just add in some pieces here, you know, just to tune in because, you know, it's like home cooking on this side, on this side of the aisle here.
Yeah, no, this is a hot show. Raheem, you don't know this, but a couple sisters that I used to date, they used to talk about you all the time in a very positive way. And that's, I'd be up, like, yo, I got to meet this brother one day. So it's just a blessing to be here and see how you have influenced people. And, you know, your music has also inspired a lot of love.
Yeah,
so
cool.
That's real positive also.
Yeah. On that note, Raheem, we used to have these conversations all the time. But so at this stage, you know, we've been in this now for a while. You know, mm-hmm, you and I have known each other for almost 15 years, mm-hmm, plus. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and we've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen a lot from the artist side. So tell the people how what's going on when they see what's going on either with Trump, or they see what's going on with the environment, or they're going on with Black Lives Matter or immigration. Mm-hmm. As an artist, mm-hmm, how does that hit you when you see? Shout out to Nia in Oakland, who her throat was slashed, mm-hmm, yesterday by the white supremacists on the BART train in Oakland. Or we deal with the brother who was shot with Stand Your Ground laws in Florida. I mean, it's so much that as an artist, when you hear this and you see this, I mean, you feel the pain. The young girl who, you know, was 10 up here in D.C., mm-hmm, you know, who was shot just a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as an artist, how does that hit you? And then how do you then try to put that into music and art?
All right, so I'm going to say some, you know, and let me say this. My comments and my beliefs are based on me. Like, so don't judge Red for anything I may say.
No,
let
say
me just
it.
Say that first of
Definitely.
All. So, and I got to take you there to, I'm going to take you a couple of places, right? And first thing, let me just touch on, let's just start with hip hop, right?
Yeah.
And the brother that was murdered about a month ago now, Extension,
yep,
in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do these brothers go and plot to kill that brother who is doing nothing but entertaining and making some good music too, by the way? Like, this is not me judging his personal life or what he may have done while he was here, but all I know that there's a racist supremacist, right, that, mm-hmm, murdered a young man named Trayvon Martin.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That lives in Florida. How is he able still to be walking around,
mm,
breathing?
Yeah,
that's my personal opinion on that. But y'all killed, but y'all same thugs and gangsters, right? They call yourself thugs and gangsters, and about this gangster life, will allow him to walk. He's still allowed to walk the earth.
Look, let's unpack that. I think it's important. I think so.
Like,
for those,
that, like that's one dynamic. Yeah. Just, mm-hmm, process that for a minute, right? In regards to the young lady who was murdered the other day, a 10-year-old, right? And it's like one degree separation for me of how many people know that young lady.
Hmm.
So that's for me, that's like indirectly losing like a second generational cousin or a third generational cousin. Because I know people that know her, mm-hmm, directly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And her family. Well, right? And the fact that, you know, whoever did that at that time of day, they processed and knew that potentially could happen. Right. And it makes me wonder about like what message they're trying to send.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it makes me think about a time in D.C. where I was young, but it was just real treacherous. And I thought about that. And my fear is like, you know, in them not finding those murderers. You know, there's a set of new millennials and kids who would take that narrative and run with that narrative and say, well, all right, well, these that. This about to feel like the old DC. and we gonna turn. You know what I mean? Like where it feels like the wild wild west. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah, that you know it's gonna now feel like the Rafael Edmond days again, or what? You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, right? It's a thin line between gentrification, right?
Mm-hmm.
And us wanting better for ourselves and wanting better conditions for ourselves, right? I did an interview earlier today and we were talking about the South Side, for example. And, you know, and a lot of times we refer to these inner city communities as the ghetto or the trap or the hood. And we focus so much on the negative stuff that we forget it's so much love there.
Mm-hmm.
It is love there. It is unity there. It might be the energy just might be misguided. You know what I mean? But the next big drug dealer could be the next big CEO. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Of a major app corporation or whatever. So if you, my thing is to the people who don't go there or don't spend any time there. I spend a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. So I that's the first thing we got to address, the people who a lot of these people that have comments about what needs to happen, they don't go to Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. So they don't know that east of the river, not too long, they just recently opened up a bookstore, but it was no bookstores.
Right.
They don't know east of the river. Yeah, now they got these plans to bring in the big Walmarts or the Targets or whomever, and no disrespect to them companies, cool, that's cool, but like, Where were those companies or where are those grocery stores with fresh produce over the last 30 years before y'all came up with these plans to, you know, recreate this beautiful landscape? Mm. So when you drive in down New York Avenue, it starts to look like a mini New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my beef is really with the people that don't go to and do nothing. They just talking. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just had my first school that we adopted, Turner Elementary, this year through the foundation. Shout out to Joyful Markets. Shout out to everyone, you know, involved, the mayor and different organizations. Martha's Table, you know, where we did an event where they gave me an opportunity to adopt a school. They said, we'll pull up. You can help us find volunteers. And we adopted a school. And once a month we came to that school every day. At 3 o'clock, from like 3 to 6, we'll be there giving out fresh fruits and vegetables based on how many kids was in your household. Mm. We had chefs there to teach the kids options on how to make smoothies and eating healthy and you know, having a healthier option to, you know, the carry out and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's important to the artists, I'll say, like, it's no time like the present. Whether you independent, whether you up and coming, whether you major, mainstream, whatever, to use your art as a voice, a weapon, and a weapon of mass love, not mass destruction, but mass love and education and entertainment and edutainment to combat whatever it is that you don't understand or whatever it is you want to change in your Ground Zero, in your community, or whatever it is you see on social media. And we get, you know, we got to start using these tools for how they can help us instead of for how they can hurt us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how you move from surviving to thriving.
No, that's how. And Raheem, you dropped so much there. And I got to say this because there's an audience listening to this that doesn't see those communities.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about here is that there's a, I got to ask this in this time that we have. How then do we get the audience who doesn't get into those communities to see those communities and understand how important they are and what they're going through? And on the other side, how do we, when we're talking about issues like right now, talking about issues regarding clean air and clean water, how do we get communities who are struggling, who you know, who, man, listen, I don't got no time to discuss clean air and clean water right now and other issues. I'm just ducking bullets. How do we get those two communities to come together?
I'm unmasking of America is happening before our eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And social and systematic racism. Right, we literally in a country just divided, whether everybody realizes that or not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I can't even allow nobody that won't come or go to where we go and see it at Ground Zero. You can't speak on it. You ain't allowed to speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a minute, you ain't gonna be welcome. And in a minute, like, you know, it kind of talks about, like, Pac talked about it and said, like, yo, if you keep, every day you keep bullying somebody, mm-hmm. right? Or you keep, or every day you got somebody that's in the room and they sitting right there in that chair and they hungry. Mm-hmm. And every day we come in, we don't let them eat, though. We come in, we eat, we drink, we enjoy. After a while, like, at some point, money is going to completely bug out and be like, yo, you're not going to keep eating this food in front of me and I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm starving.
Right.
Like, I'm hungry and I'm starving. And I'm displaced. And I want to work, but I can't get a job.
That was real talk.
Man, listen, at this time, man, I tell y'all.
Raheem, there's people out here that want to help themselves. They can't. They just don't know mm-hmm. where to start, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's a group of people, new millennials, old heads included, that don't care. They're not trying to help nobody, and they don't want no help, and they just want to just be destructive and be self-destructive. Mm-hmm. You can't save everybody.
Right.
So, but that's a whole nother discussion.
That's like, a whole, that's so,
and that could get, really right. like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the promise that we got to find Raheem in his studio to do a part two. Raheem, if folks want to find you, want to, you know, support you, get down with Love Life Foundation, what are those aspects to find you?
Okay. Instagram and Twitter, social media handles are Raheem_Devaughn. That's RAHEEM_DEVAUGHN. That's Instagram and Twitter. The Love Life Foundation, Instagram and Twitter is @LoveLifeDMV. Once again, that's @LoveLifeDMV. Our official website where you can make donations to support our efforts. Our four major initiatives, I'll go over those once I give you the site. It's LoveLifeFoundationDMV.org. Once again, that's LoveLifeFoundationDMV.org. You can make a donation there. You know, when you make a donation to the foundation, you support not only my efforts to fight domestic violence or to feed the homeless. One of my favorites is the Textbook Scholarship Fund. We've helped off over 10 kids off to college, paying for their books and supplies, as well as some other cool initiatives, fighting HIV and AIDS, making more people aware, people of black and brown color on that. Of course, climate control with my brother right here, you know, in the Hip Hop Caucus. And again, this is WPFW, so I urge you to make a pledge, you know what I'm saying, today. This station is not funded by the establishments. It's funded, the station is right. for and made and operated by the people, for the people, and the people finance it. So definitely do that as well. But that's where you can find me. New singles out, Don't Come Easy. It's available everywhere on all social media platforms, all digital platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all those places. The new album will be out, Decade of a Love King, as early as October. And yeah.
That's it, y'all. You heard it here, Raheem Devaughn. And on that note, speaking of his song, Outer Space Spaceship, which was on Climate Change.
Yeah,
Raheem,
man.
Thank you so
much. I haven't heard this since I recorded this.
Here you go, right now. We're going to play it right now for you.
Out of spaceship, get us out of here, 'cause I can't take this.
This is Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr.
And this is Mustafa Santiago Ali.
We hope you enjoy this episode of Think 100%, the coolest show on climate change. We have more episodes featuring stimulating conversations with some of today's most important and hottest figures in the climate and environmental movement and beyond.
Rev and I invite you to continue listening to more episodes and subscribe to our podcast. Visit think100.info for more. We're opening up a dialogue on climate change and would love for you to join the conversation. So subscribe now. And also, don't forget to follow us on social media at Think100Show and at Hip Hop Caucus.
Thanks again so much, and keep listening. All power to the people.